Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a Happy New Year.
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show. Now it's starting 3D. Oh, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. Are you reading the walls? Did you get my clues? There's a debt to repay for now. You'll do.
My name is Tim Davis, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Big Ben, and he's dumb as shit, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, horror for dummies in the room, how you doing?
Whoa, my intro was way less exciting than yours. It's fucking brutal.
A little bit of Enzo Amore for you, Benjamin.
Yeah, nice, nice. Solid way to start the show, mate.
Yeah, we need more excitement to start the show, I feel.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. Fair enough. Ah! No, didn't do it. Fuck, all right, I'm out.
How you been, dude?
Good, man, good. How you been, all right?
Oh, yeah, travelling along. Christmas time, it's a good time of year.
Ah, you gotta love it, don't ya?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking jingle balls everywhere and...
Yep.
Yep, yep. Good times, fucking crazy at work.
Yep, it's over fucking like 40 degree days over here.
Yep.
Sucks. Balls, especially if you're in a truck with no air conditioning.
Correct, sir, or just out in the sun.
Yeah, yeah, you look tanned as shit.
Yeah, man, I'm cooking hard.
Do you
look like a bronzed god right now, so I'm okay with that.
You do, actually, you look really nice.
Oh, thanks, man.
Your beard's trimmed all good. And...
I know, and this sweat coming off me just gives me a natural glow. At least that's what I tell myself.
Do you want to hear a funny story before we kick it off?
I would love to hear a funny story. I always like funny stories.
All right. Well, the other day, me and the missus, me and Jaleesa, were feeling a bit wicky. So we decided to go into the spare room and get it on, as you do.
You cheeky devils. You want another kid, don't you?
No, fuck no. Anyway, we were going at it pretty hard. Anyway, our four-year-old has decided to open the door and come in and go, "Daddy, what are you doing?"
No.
She saw everything. There was no blankets covering
us. No secrets in this family.
No, I had Jaleesa bent over, so she basically saw everything.
Wow.
So I kicked her out of the room, finished Jaleesa off. Then I had to explain to Abby what she saw, and I went in there with no clue what I was going to say, so I just, the first thing that came to my head was, Daddy was trying to kill the spider.
Daddy was trying to kill the spider.
Yeah,
you didn't go with the bad back or the wheelbarrow or anything like that.
No.
No?
That was the first thing that came to my mind. Don't ask me why. Anyway, cut to the next night. We're at dinner with Jaleesa's parents for her grandfather's birthday. I've gone off to the toilet and I come back and everyone's kind of snickering. So Jaleesa's kind of giggling and stuff. I'm like, what's funny? So Jaleesa's mum turns around and goes, Abby was telling us how you got the spider. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, yeah, Abby told us where you killed the spider. I'm like, so where was that? Abby turns around and goes, in mum's vagina.
You got ratted out by a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
No, that's you.
Yeah. Luckily, my missus' parents are, they're good team players, but still.
Oh, that's so funny, man.
Bit awkward, eh?
Oh, shit.
Anyway, if this is your first time listening, welcome. Yes. Oh, what a fucking story to start off with. But if this is your first time listening, basically what we are is a spoiler podcast. We are going to spoil the movies that we talk about tonight, and if I'm going to give you a bit of a rundown because we haven't actually done that before. So if this is your first time, basically Ben here is not as well known as a horror fan as he should be. He hasn't seen many films. He's getting there. He's done, what, 10 now?
That's true. Yeah. I've seen at least 10 movies.
You have. So basically I'm here to educate Ben in the art of horror movies.
I'm learning.
Yes. On top of that, we like to talk about music, so we have a little musical segment. Would you like to play a song for y'all? And that basically is our show in a nutshell. Now, as for tonight, fuck me dead, we have a big show for you. And I usually say this a lot of times, but trust me, we have a big show tonight.
That's true, he does say that a lot of times, but he does mean it this time.
We have a full... We have 2 weeks' worth of listener mail. We have a hell of a movie to talk about, and we're going to count down my top 10 least favourite films of the year.
Ooh, so stick trash talk, that. I love it.
It is.
Let's get dirty.
All right, but before we do anything, Benjamin.
Timothy.
This show has been brought to you by the Padded Room Podcast. Check them out, us out. Always do that.
You always do, eh? Yeah. I'm going to write it down on a card out. For you.
And Cake Wolf's Happy Hour at paddedroom.podbean.com. Before we kick it off with listener mail, I've got a couple of shout-outs.
Beautiful. One,
The Horror Room, which is a group on Facebook, have kindly approached us and said that we're cool. So I want to give a shout-out to them. Oh. And the funny thing is it's basically 95% all Australians in this group.
Yeah,
so I
yeah.
feel right at home. They're all Australians and they all like horror movies.
Nice.
Yeah.
And apparently we're cool. We've been accepted, Tim. We've made it. We really did it.
You weirdo. So, The Horror Room, check them out. Go join the group. If you like horror movies and Australian people, which if you're listening to this, I'm guessing you do, go join that group. Another person I want to shout out is Tim Foster. Why? Because he has the sickest name ever. From
Foster is pretty good.
Fuck you. From Winners Gaming. He is apparently our super fan and is apparently too nervous to call us and say hello.
Really?
Yeah. Darian messaged me today asking if we can give him a shout out. So, Tim, I expect to hear a fucking voicemail. Not voicemail, we won't do that. An email or a message or something for the next week's show. And in return, I'm going to give you a nickname. On the top of my head, Tim. You are now Tim the motherfucking homie.
Yeah. So now you got to live up to it, all right? We need that email, man. Come on.
Tim Foster. I'm counting on you, man.
We're calling you out, man.
Yeah, do good for the Tims.
Someone has to. What's up?
All right, let's kick it off with our first little segment of the night, which is listener mail.
Listener mail.
Okay, so our first messenger, and he sent this like 2 weeks ago, so. Sorry, dude, but we are finally getting around to it. Is none other than
Alan! Alan Chacha!
That's right. So, he comes in and says, so I got to thinking, what horror villain's weapon would I want in the zombie apocalypse? Going back to the Nightmare on Elm Street discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think I would go with Jason's machete. The chainsaw is too noisy, heavy, and you would have to find gas and oil for it.
That's true.
The knife is too close range, and I feel Freddy's glove is more of a slashing weapon as opposed to a stabbing weapon. And true. And you have to punch through the skull. It's a funny thing that Alan mentioned this, because the other day I was playing around with my Freddy Krueger glove, because if you're a horror fan, you probably own a Freddy Krueger glove. And I do as any good fan would do, is pretend you're Freddy Krueger and slash thing, and it broke. So
really,
yeah. Well, one of the claws came off. So
oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So I'm actually retracting my comment from the last episode about me wanting the Freddy glove, and I'm gonna
take it back. Now you're just screwed.
Well, no, that's
no,
fucked.
No. You had your chance. All right, you planned it out. You thought this was a great idea, well, and now you're gonna die.
I'm fuck you.
Sucked in.
Alan also comes in and goes, what is the most Australian thing y'all have ever done? The most Alabama thing I have ever done was fire a shotgun off of a moving four-wheeler while holding a beer between my legs and listening to Skinner.
Yeah, that's... How do you top that?
This is why we need to party with Alan!
Fucking oath we do.
It's not fair!
That's sick. I want to do that.
what's the most Australian thing we've done? Nothing like that.
Yeah, don't know why.
We've had fun nights out, but we haven't blasted off a shotgun while...
Yeah, I mean, what are we going to do? Fucking throw a boomerang while we drink a VB and wear thongs?
Yeah, that's... I hate thongs.
Yeah, really?
They're not called thongs, they're called flip-flops.
Flip-flop... No, they're called thongs here, mate. All right? So for everyone else that's listening, you can get weird ideas about us if you want. All right? Fuck knows why we'd wear two at a time. Just to be sure, I guess. Yeah, get in there real nice and deep, like, yeah.
Actually, the most Australian thing I've done actually wasn't... I was there, but it wasn't me. It was... It was at the Cronulla riots. So there was
here
a,
we go.
There was a big riot in where we're from. Basically, I saw no fights or anything like that, but what I did see was one of my friends who had a ute, little pickup truck, if you can. And in it, he, on top of the, on the ute, he put a barbecue on there and was cranking AC/DC as loud as he could while cooking sausages for a huge crowd and chucking VBs out to everyone.
That's sick.
He then got so fucking pissed and wasted that he jumped off the ute and broke his ankle in the process.
That guy totally has my vote for Prime Minister.
Yeah. On top of that, after he broke his ankle, he was so wasted, he tried to walk on it.
That's sick.
Next time I saw him, he was in a cast.
Who was that?
Oh, guy I used to go with the butcher shop.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Funny fucker.
That's gold.
Yeah. Alan, we don't do much Australian things.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, man. One Australia Day, I watched the WWE Royal Rumble and ate hot dogs.
That's usually like our standard go-to, eh? Pretty much, yeah.
We do more American things than Australian
things. Yeah, I know, right?
Could you please play Hellraiser by Motorhead? Yes. Yes, we can.
We absolutely can do that.
We will do that for sure. He goes, P.S. The sound wasn't too bad in the last episode.
Thanks,
Thank
man.
You for that.
We appreciate that. Whoa. You didn't even practice that.
I know, we're just that good.
Oh my god.
So thanks, Alan. Our next caller, not caller, emailer, is is Cake Wolf himself.
Ah,
from Cake Wolf's Happy Hour.
Mr. Wolf, what can we do for Mr. Wolf?
He writes, I'm an idiot and can't figure out how people write into your show. I don't think I caught an email thrown out, so I'll write in here. You just... Facebook message.
Oh, okay, right. I was going to say, really? Because it sounds like you figured it out.
I love that R&B song. That woman is GQ. Stylish as hell. That's talking about your sister-in-law.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Good job, bro.
Yeah. My favourite music genre, this is going to your question, is probably jazz. I also love funk and blues. Always has a place in my heart. But I run with jazz as my top. That way, not Tim. It's you, it's who he's calling me. Is sated with a singular pick. Actually, that's a bit of a shock.
Not Tim. I don't know whether to be, like, grateful about that or not.
Cakewolf, I actually didn't pick you to be a jazz fan. I thought you were a rockhead. Rocker. But hey, to each their own.
That's right.
Now, question for you fuckers. If you had to have sex with Freddy Krueger every night or your significant other would die... How long could you keep it up? Also, how do you think Freddy has sex? If I had to have sex every night or my significant other would die, sorry, but Joyce is going to die.
Mm-hmm. I'm more confused when he says, how long could you keep it up? Does he mean like how many nights or like how many minutes?
Depends what Freddy does. I mean, if he gives me a blowjob, I can close my eyes and pretend it's... someone.
You could probably get into some weird shit with all the holes in his skin and stuff.
Yeah. See, the thing about fucking Freddy Krueger would be weird because if you've seen We Were Soldiers, when that guy gets the napalm and his skin starts to fall off, imagine giving Freddy a hand job.
Yeah.
His skin would just fall off his dick.
Yeah, it's true.
That'd be fucked up. I wouldn't
that
like
would
that.
Would be fucked.
I don't want to lose skin while giving people a hand job.
Nah, not so much, eh?
Yeah.
Nah.
How do I think Freddy has sex? Well, I know that he... I don't know.
Well, we know the first time can get a little messy.
I've got no smart ass or funny answer for you, Cakewolf. I'm sorry. Mm. I'll let you down, buddy. He continues, I'm both sorry and not sorry for that question. But I think it's well... deserved by at least not Tim for some of the Freddy bash in the last episode.
Oh, don't be like that. Come on, let's not make it personal.
Please give lots of detail for your answer to the final portion of the question, Mr. Not Tim. This is your penance.
This is my penance. That's it, I'll fucking have you.
Hey, listeners, check out Cakewolf's Happy Hour. You can find them on the same feed that we are on. They're basically like us. They like to talk about funny stuff.
Yeah.
As well as we.
Funny stuff's always good.
Anyway, the next caller in is a new person. This is from Jerry. Oh, good morning, friends. My name, Hotshot Jerry, and I from Peru. I in my 20s and male, and am number one fan of your hip, cool podcast. My apologies, I not very good English typing and speak, but can understand hearing on your podcast very much. Good times fun. Love your show. If okay to ask, is true in Australia you wrestle crocodiles in local river like Mr. Steve? We have crocodile in our river, but would never fight them. No, no, no. Nasty, nasty.
That's golden!
Please would love to hear from you on podcast and play favorite band Slipknot. Hey. Thanks and good day to you, Mr. Tim and Mr. Dummy. I joke. Sorry, Mr. Ben. Your good legend. Pal, number one fan of show, Mr. Hotshot Jerry.
Hotshot Jerry.
What a fucking name.
What a legend. Hotshot Jerry.
Jerry, you're the coolest. I love you.
That's golden.
To answer your question, I've never actually seen a crocodile in the wild. Have you?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, they don't actually... not that I know of. They're not in the rivers where we live. They're up top of Australia.
Yeah.
We're more down the south.
Yeah, that's right. They're not... There are places where they're in the wild, but they're not, like, around exactly where we live, so...
Yeah.
I haven't had to wrestle any.
If you saw one, would you?
Fuck no.
Depends what girl...
Didn't you hear what Hotshot Jerry said? Nasty, nasty. No. I'm not wrestling a fucking... No.
Dude, thanks, Jerry. Call in any time, man. We like to hear you. Fucking from Peru,
that's
eh?
That's wicked, eh? Good
coming
stuff,
Jerry.
Coming
in from Peru. All right. Here we come with another email from Darian Brock. You may know him as the main host of the Padded Room podcast. Gentlemen. His subject line is being realistic.
Uh-oh.
Gentlemen. I'd like to just take a moment to thank you both for your fair and balanced review of A Nightmare on Elm Street. It's really easy for horror podcasters to jump on the bandwagon and sing the praises of these films just because they know that they are universally respected by the fan base, when in all truth, most of them simply don't hold up. That's true. When we get to our Friday the 13th episode, we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah.
A Nightmare on Elm Street is a shining example of this. Watching it as a kid, I would have sworn that it was the most terrifying film ever made and probably taken issue with you if you disagreed. Watching it these days, it's almost laughable. The ridiculous Home Alone crap, the way...
Yes!
The way Heather Langenkamp can't keep her lips closed because her teeth are too big.
It's like she's wearing a mouth guard 24/7.
You know, I never actually realised that until you said that. Rod the token scumbag with a mysterious accent, and worst of all, that nonsensical ending. If all you had to do was turn your back on him, then he should have been vanquished in any of the 14 chase sequences we saw leading up to that point. Technically, her back was turned to him while he was chasing her, so poof, right?
Yeah,
he has a point.
That's right.
But the best part, which I can't believe you guys missed... was when Nancy actually gooses Freddy. During chase sequence number 12... I love how you put the number.
Speaking chronologically.
When she's leading him through all the homemade booby traps, she leads him down to the basement, loses him behind the sand case, then pops up behind him and shouts, "Hey!" And Freddy actually jumps.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Wow. How did we miss that?
Fucking hell.
I love it.
He continues, "Are you serious? Don't get me wrong, gents. This movie still holds a special place in my heart, as it was my gateway drug into horror itself. But in all realism, watching it now, meh.
Yeah, fair yeah. ball.
That very being fair said, ball. I have a question for you. Where do you guys stand on the recent wave of horror remakes? Some better than others, all bad, all good, and your top three. Thanks again, you dirty Aussie sluts. keep up the good work. D-Man out. Oh, Darian. You came in with some sluts. Fucking good points, I'll give you that. All right, horror remakes. And when I talk about horror, I'm guessing that he's talking about the not the thing, not the fly, like...
Yeah.
From Texas Chainsaw onwards.
Yeah, okay.
How do you feel? So I basically know what you're going to say. What do you feel about the remakes?
Well, I mean, truth be told, it's the same as a lot of things we talk about. I haven't actually seen that many, really. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same thing. I didn't like the original one. Yeah. I remember the remake scaring the shit out of me, but I was 14 and I snuck into it at the movies when it came out. Mm-hmm. You know, if I watched it now,
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing. It may not hold up, you know?
Yeah.
So, that, I saw the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, and I wasn't particularly impressed with that either, so it's pretty much in the same boat as the original.
Eh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Halloween.
Halloween. Now, I will go out there and say I enjoyed the remakes of the Halloween movies better than the original ones. Wow. Yeah. Not to discredit the original ones, they're awesome movies, but the remakes, just the detail he goes into, yeah. Like, really following him through the asylum and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know...
Yeah.
It adds a whole new angle and a whole new edge to it.
Yeah.
I fucking absolutely love those remakes. So, on that point, I would say the remakes there are better than the originals.
Ooh.
Big claim, but...
And this is the thing that a lot of... You know, truthfully, I'm kind of sick of people who just go, no more remakes. We're sick of remakes. It's not like the original's going to disappear.
Yeah, that's true. They don't just get rid of it to make a new one.
Yeah. My stance on remake is probably about 80% of the time, I usually really, really enjoy remakes. I am not opposed to them at all. I said before that the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which is universally hated by everyone, not just horror fans, I don't mind. The Halloween film, the Halloween remake, which is, again, universally hated by most horror fans, I actually like. And I actually like Part 2, which is also... Well, H2, which is also hated among fans. This is at the top of my head. I can't think of a film that... A remake that I didn't like. But give me 20 minutes. No, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. Okay. Give me 20 minutes and I'll probably come up with something. As for top three and what?
I'm just imagining now. Give him 20 minutes and just goes to silence for the next 20 minutes of the show. I've just got to sit here till Tim thinks of something now. Sorry, guys. This could take a while.
On the top of my head, top three. Okay. Number one, my favorite remake of all time is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I fucking love that remake.
Yeah?
Leatherface is fucking horrifying in that.
Yeah, I remember him being scary in that.
Yeah, I actually prefer the remake Leatherface to the original a lot more. Number two, Dawn of the Dead. Fucking horrifying zombies that sprint at you.
Yeah, that's fucked.
It's fucked. number three, and I... honestly, I forgot to actually study this, so I'm just going to come with a few honorable mentions. Piranha was a lot of fun. The Friday 13th remake, I liked. When I first saw it, I wasn't a fan, but it slowly grew on me. Halloween remakes. A funny thing about me is I was never really big into the original Halloween films. I liked them, but I'd never really understood why everyone thought they were the greatest and best horror films out there. It wasn't until Rob Zombie's Halloween remake that I actually had a bit of respect for them. And I think it was because of the fact that Michael Myers was... What?
You say this while you have a fucking Halloween tattoo on your wrist and a big Michael Myers.
That Michael Myers is from Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's version.
Fair enough. And, but you had that
and
way
the thorn,
before.
Yeah, because I wanted a horror tattoo on my wrist. And yeah, I've got the thorn. Now, what was it? Oh, yeah, Michael Myers is like... It wasn't really that scary to me in the originals. I mean, he was just a normal dude, and I know that's what made people fear him. But in the remakes, I kind of appreciated that he was this big, huge dude that no one could fuck with.
Yeah, yeah, I understand, like, the size thing makes him cooler, but
yeah.
I don't know, I almost found, like, yeah, as you say, I find the fact that he's just a normal dude, so to speak, creepier.
Yeah.
Because it's, it's entirely believable. Yeah, it could you can be imagine, like, you know, a kid having a brain snap and doing something like that, and, you know, it's sort of, it's got, like, an angle of reality to it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know, everyone's the same, but yeah. That's just me. That's to answer your question, Darian. Definitely Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake. I fucking adored that. Ali Ermey in that movie is the best.
Yes.
All right. Our last email comes in from Daniel Kalouf. Our friend. He writes, "Dear Jimothy, the receding hairline Davis." Fuck you too. And Benjamin the Magnificent Field.
I love him.
I'm composing to you this electronical mail to let you know how very much I do enjoy your podcast, Hoorah for Gummies. The in-depth review of gelatinous sweets really tickles my pickle. In particular, I enjoy your segment, Was This Gummy in My Bummy? May I suggest next you review the giant cola bottle. Lots of loves and kisses, Luffy. P.S. Listen to the consumerist. Just search for Trainwreck Podcast on iTunes or Podbean. Our good friend Daniel Kalouf there, coming in from the Consumerist Podcast, which is a friend's podcast of ours. Check them out. Go search up Trainwreck Network. They basically talk about everything.
Anything and everything.
Anything they watched. They'll just talk about anything they bought. It's good times. I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah, nice.
So that was it. At the top of my head. Yep, that was it for Listener Mail this week. Thank you to everyone who messaged us or emailed us. Thank you to our new little dude, Jerry.
Yes.
What a legend.
Hotshot Jerry. You legend.
Yeah. That was Listener Mail. But before we kick it off into the main segment, Benjamin.
Yes, my friend.
It is time for your question of the week.
Ben's question of the week.
Alrighty, guys. So, before we ask this week's question, we'll take a second and read out the answers to last week's question. Or 2 weeks ago, as it were. Sorry about that. So, the last question we had was, what is your favourite music genre?
Yeah.
So, first up, we have Sam Day, who just posted a GIF of Beavis and Butthead. That's not really music, Sam. Like, that's a GIF, and it's Beavis and Butthead. Thanks, mate. Okay, we got our good friend Paley saying, you know it's punk rock, brother. That's true. That's true.
Punko.
Unless he's got a secret shame that he's not letting people know about. We've got Kimberly Pelton saying blues. Nice choice. Basis of a lot of good music.
Yeah.
Beck Rocher, hip-hop/R&B.
Nice.
What a surprise. Amy Field, film and musical soundtracks. Don't I know it?
She's so cute.
Yes. I hear that one quite a bit. Zach Davis, your little brother, eh? I like that song that goes boom, boom, boom. And he also like a dude da cha cha. Zach won that question. This is sick. Matthew Harrison says, death to all but metal.
Yeah. Still Panther and some shit.
I'm down with that. So we got Emma Blakemore, loving old school throwback anthems. That's fair enough. That covers actually a fair big genre, but
it's
true. Once they hit a certain point, they're all classed as throwbacks, I guess.
Yeah.
Kieran Bowden saying Taylor Swift. Well, again, that's kind of an artist, dude. It's not really like a genre, eh? Okay, fair enough. That also doesn't surprise me, being Kieran.
Yeah, true.
And then Rankin Ridgway, who has joined us on the show in previous episodes, has just said, it's Tuesday.
Fucking weirdo.
To which our other friend Moho just said, it's Friday, dickhead. Thanks, Moho. I'm glad you said it. Saves me saying it. Alrighty, guys. We're sticking with the Christmas theme, since the last episode will get out before Christmas. I want to know, what is your favourite Christmas tradition? Have you got a certain movie you like to watch to G up for the festive season? Have you got a certain place you like to go? Certain food you'd like to eat? Tell me, what is your favourite Christmas tradition? What's your favourite Christmas tradition, Tim?
Fucking Silent Night, Deadly Night. that and prawns.
Yeah.
Or shrimp.
God, prawns. Prawns are so good.
Yeah, they're the best.
Better go throw another shrimp on the barbie.
All right, so that is all we have for you this week. Goodbye.
No worries. Merry Christmas. Fuck yes.
All right, let's...
Don't forget, guys, with that question, this will be released on Saturday. Right. Make sure you get your answers back to us however you wish by Tuesday so it's ready for the next episode.
Yeah, that's right, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
All right.
What about our hotshot friend from Peru?
Yeah.
I want to know what his favourite Christmas tradition is.
And Tim Foster. I want to hear from you too.
Yeah. Represent the Tims and do it well.
Do it, man. Motherfucking homie. All right. Let's kick it off into our feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
Okay, finally we get to talk about some Krampus.
The Krampus.
As Ben has written down, Krampussy.
Yeah, I've always got to come up with a working title for all the movies that we review, so it was either Krampanus or Krampussy, and Krampussy just worked better.
All right, so if you did not take my advice and watch this on Netflix, shame, shame on you. But
whoa.
The plot is... A boy who has had a bad Christmas ends up accidentally summoning a festive demon to his family home. That's a shit synopsis, but...
It really was, eh? When I read that, I'm like, are we really fucking watching this? That sounds very average.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That was IMDb. I really got to start writing my own ones, eh?
You really do.
Yeah. All right, this is from 2015. And I was talking to our good friend Paley, who you will hear later tonight in Paley's Musical Minute. And he shocked me. The first time ever that someone said, it's all right.
Really?
Yep. Everyone has always told me that this movie's fucking awesome. So, without further ado, Benjamin, please tell me how you feel.
I'm going to agree with the majority of people there, Tim.
Yeah!
This movie was fucking awesome.
Yes, I knew it.
It was good, man. It was good. I got to admit it. Actually, it started... I was getting, like, worked up watching the start of it, eh?
What?
I don't know, because it always does my head in movies when, like... family or people come together and they clearly like hate each other, but
yeah.
They just come and spend time together. Like, why would you do it? So
yeah.
What? It's Christmas. If you don't like your family, don't see your family.
That's a good
point.
Turn
up and be a cunt. No one likes that guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I was just sitting there being like, fuck you guys, what are you doing? It's annoying me. But yeah, nah, this movie was good, man. It was good.
No, I had a feeling you'd enjoy it. Before we get further into it, Benjamin, let me tell you a little origin of Krampus.
Ah, yes, tell us about the Krampus.
So, legend is that throughout the Christmas season, naughty kids are beaten with birch branches or disappeared when they're stuffed into Krampus's sack and taken to his lair to be eaten or tortured or raped.
Well.
He doesn't rape them, I just...
I was going to say, I didn't see the word raped on your page there. I thought you were just ad-libbing, you know, go with it.
But Krampus's roots have nothing to do with Christmas. Instead, they date back to pre-Germanic paganism. Tradition has it that he is the son of the Norse god of the underworld, hell. Have you seen the Facebook video clips of like the parade in Austria and stuff like that where they celebrate?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, dude, it's fucking mad.
Yeah.
There's a town in Austria. And each year they hold the annual Krampus Parade where they dress up as demons and Krampus and march to the street scaring kids.
Fuck yeah.
Why can't that happen here? Why
Australia
can't we...
doesn't do fun things.
We have the Bunyip, which is basically Australia's version of the Yeti or the Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is from the Dreamland.
Ah, the Dreamtime.
That's all I'm going to tell you about the origins of Krampus. Why, you may ask? Because Cake Wolf basically said it perfectly in his last episode, so you should go listen to them if you want to hear the origins of Krampus.
Fair enough.
But we'll talk about Krampus in films, because Jesus Christ, has he been in a few. Such as Night of the Krampus, Krampus the Christmas Devil, Krampus the Reckoning, Krampus the Devil Returns, A Visit from Krampus, and A Christmas Horror Story. You've seen none of these, have you?
No.
Okay. So Ben messaged me last night because there's two Krampus' movies on Netflix, this one we're talking about, and Krampus the Christmas Devil. Unfortunately, I had sat through the Christmas Devil. I don't know why.
Mm.
It's fucking horrible. I've also watched Krampus the Reckoning, which isn't much better.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, so I'm not going to bother with any Krampus films. Yeah. Christmas horror story. Krampus is in... The character of Krampus is in there a bit, but it's not entirely based on Krampus.
It's just sort of like a name drop?
No, he's in it. Like, the character's in it.
Yeah.
But not, like, only for, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
All right, so let's talk about this film here. Now, the budget was $15 million and box office $61.5 million.
Yeah, nice.
Had mixed reviews. I don't know why. 65% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Let's go down the cast, Benjamin.
All right, let's.
Sorry. We'll go to the crew. I want to talk about the director of this movie.
Okay.
Did you pick up the director's name?
I didn't, actually. I didn't really notice the credits, to be honest.
Okay. Michael Dougherty. Ring a bell?
It does.
We have reviewed another one of his films.
Was it Trick or Treat by chance?
Oh, it is.
Aha!
Yes, it is. Who was also doing Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Now, the thing about Michael Dougherty is every single movie he's directed, not written, I have loved.
Yeah?
But he hasn't directed that many.
Oh, okay.
He's written a lot. He's written, like, the X-Men films and Superman films, stuff like that.
Yeah, what a mad dog.
I don't touch them, but you probably would.
You should. They're great.
Yeah, I've got too many horror movies to watch.
Alright, fair enough.
So the cast, we're coming with MJ Anthony, who played Max, Adam Scott, who played Tom. Now, how much do you love Adam Scott?
I do love Adam Scott.
Everyone loves Adam Scott. He's the best. If you don't know who he is, he's the douchebag brother of...
Step Brothers. That's all I think of whenever I see him.
Yeah.
Just singing in the car. It's alright, I'm going to save it with the solo.
he does that movie so well.
It's so good.
He's also in Parks and Rec and Piranha. Toni Collette. She's Australian, isn't she?
She is Australian.
Yeah,
she's one of us.
Ah. Who played Sarah? David Kochner, who played Howard. Do you love some Champ?
Man, I've seen that guy in so many movies.
He's in everything. But I love him.
Yeah, he was good.
Everything he's in, he just makes me laugh.
I know, he's always funny.
Actually, he's in Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, which just came on Netflix.
Yes, it did.
And he's so funny in that movie. Alison Tomein as Linda, who's Howard's wife.
Yep.
Conchata Farrell, I'm guessing that it's the chick from
Two and a Half Men.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, that's
who played Aunt Dorothy.
Yep.
Stefania Levine Owen, who played Beth, the older sister.
Yep.
Krista Stadler, who played Omi, who is the only Austrian person in this movie.
Yes.
Actually Austrian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Maverick Flack, who played Howie Jr.
Maverick.
what a sick name. Really? Would you name your son Maverick?
No, fuck no. I wouldn't actually name it, but if I met someone named Maverick, I'd be like, yeah, cool name.
What'd you nickname him? Hey, Mavi.
I don't know. Rick probably would be the better choice.
Yeah, okay. Don't make me choose nicknames then.
Mavi.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
What are you going to call him? I've never met anyone called Maverick.
Name your son Jaden, and you're going to go around calling him Den. Hey, Den!
All right, we got Queenie Samuel, who played Jordan, and Lolo Owen, who played Stevie. What's these fucking names? Queenie and Lolo?
Yeah, what the fuck?
They're the fat twin girls.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured.
Alright, first question, Benjamin. Out of all those characters, who was your favourite?
Who was my favourite?
Yep.
Ooh, probably have to be... I don't know, actually. Mm. You sort of caught me off guard, yeah? I don't know, they're good in different ways, eh?
Yeah.
Like, Aunt Dorothy's funny. All she wants to do is get pissed.
Yeah.
Which is funny
Which
as.
Is basically you.
Yeah, I know, that's right. I connect with her. fucking... Howard's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's just fucking always good, man. Tom's cool, he gets kind of badass.
Yeah,
he starts doing some pretty cool shit. None of the kids are really that good.
Yeah, no, not really. No. Max is he's a cute, adorable little kid, but he doesn't do anything great.
Yeah.
The Howie Jr., Maverick, is a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a fucking arid, eh?
I fucking hate that character.
He's no, okay. Fucking shittest character. I was so glad when he died. I'm impressed if fucking chimney was big enough.
You know, he didn't actually say anything besides a burp?
No, I noticed that. It was probably cheaper. Shit.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that or he had a mouthful of food the whole time, I'm not sure.
Yeah, see, when I wrote this question, I thought, that's easy for me, I'm just going to go straight to Howard. But I watched this twice.
Did you?
Yeah, I love it, man.
Yeah.
And on the second watch, Aunt Dorothy really made me laugh a lot.
She's funny, man. Yeah. Well, she walks in, she's like, where's the nog? I want to get married. Fuck yes! That's sick! That's the spirit of Christmas right there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm fucking going nuts on that nog this year.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So yeah, it's a toss between Aunt Dorothy and Howard for me.
Yeah.
Those cool. Two made me laugh the most. Who's your least favourite?
Who's my least favourite?
Yep, this one's easy for me because I've got two as well.
What, Maverick?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, least favourite would probably be... Oh, it's kind of a tie, eh? Like, fucking... Toni Collette's character's pretty shit.
Yeah, she's...
She's really annoying. She really doesn't do, like, anything.
Yeah, not really.
She's pretty fucking annoying. And I don't like either of the twin girls.
That's mine.
They're fucking heaps annoying, eh?
Yeah, I can't stand the twin girls. But truth be told, if you had a choice to delete any character from this movie, would you?
No,
neither. I wouldn't.
I feel like a big part of it, like, the whole movie is about not getting into the Christmas spirit and stuff, and, like, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
They sort of reinforce that point, so if you delete them, you're sort of taking away from the whole basis of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. But all round, what do you think of the characters?
I don't know, truth be told, a lot of them are pretty one-dimensional, eh?
Really?
Yeah, I thought so. Huh?
Besides...
Pretty much all of them, like, you figure out exactly what each character is to start with straight away, and that's just all they do.
Tom's character?
Tom's character does change a bit. Oh, yeah, granted, I'll give you that. I will give you that. His character does change, which is cool.
Actually...
Because I thought he was going to be a bit boring to start with.
Yeah.
But then he started doing some cool stuff. And Howard does change a little bit as well, I guess.
So does Max, in a way.
Yeah.
A little bit at the end.
Yeah, a little bit at the end.
Like, he realises that family is more than...
Yeah.
Annoying.
But, yeah. But the rest of them, like, you know, like the twin girls, they're there to be irrits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just all they do. And truth be told, you know, again, that's the whole point of it, really, is it's enforcing that point in the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, you sort of figure out exactly who everyone is within, like, 5 seconds of seeing them.
Yeah.
It's only those two. I don't really feel like Max changes that much. I feel like Howard and Tom are the only two that actually progress as characters.
Yeah, they do the most. Max does right at the end when he realises that, like, he's going to take his own life for...
Yeah.
For the family. So, he does in that way, but...
Yeah. But even then, that's still sort of the same as he was to start with. You know, he's all about Christmas and giving and selfless and stuff. Like, that's kind of who he was to start with.
That's true.
Doesn't really change.
Yeah. Let's talk about the director.
Yeah.
Michael Dougherty. Now, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
And this may reflect on your score. Don't tell me the score of this movie yet, but okay. I want to know, what did you enjoy more, this or Trick or Treat?
Trick or Treat.
Okay.
I like Trick or Treat more than this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm the same. I think... Krampus is close.
It
is, for me.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
But I still liked Trick or Treat more.
Yeah. See, and trust me, he's already been asked 1,000 times which next holiday film are you going to turn into a horror movie?
Yeah, true, eh?
I'd love an Easter horror movie. I know we have some, but there's not, like... I want an evil Easter Bunny.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Not Bunny Man. Like, an actual one.
Yeah. Yeah, I could get on board with that.
Yeah, you haven't really got me. I mean, like, Passions of the Christ. Like, in a way, is a horror movie.
What?
Well, it's reflecting on
Easter. Even then, that's a Christmas movie.
No, it's not.
Huh?
It's not. What? It's not about Jesus being born.
No, but it's about Jesus, and he had to be born at some point.
It's about him dying, which happened in Easter.
All right, fine.
Oh, actually, I want to watch that just because it's brutal.
Yeah, it is fucking savage, that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, well, let's talk about the actual movie. So, all around acting, how did you feel? Really? What? Okay,
Some of it, actually... Oh... No, it was better than eh. I'll say, yeah. No, that was a poor choice of words. No, the acting actually wasn't too bad.
I enjoyed the acting.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I felt like David Kochner's character and like Adam Scott, sorry, I had a mind blank.
Yeah.
Tom and Howard, they had their comedic parts down. But in this, I don't know, it just felt more natural for them.
Yeah,
like they
true.
Didn't have to reach.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Pull something out. Like this all just flowed well. Their chemistry was great together. Howard was just a jerk.
It was actually.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah, he definitely got that damn packed. Eh?
Yeah, yeah. cinematography.
There were some really cool shots in this,
there
actually.
There are some unreal shots.
There are some
shots.
Really, really cool ones.
Yeah.
Most of the ones, like, I liked all the majority of them were like the outdoors shots. I really, really liked
when they're
panning past the like the silhouette of a tree in the storm, and you can see the siren on top of the plow start coming around from behind it and stuff. And yeah, I thought some of those shots were really cool. Actually,
there's one shot where Max rips up his paper and chucks it out the window, and the camera follows these pieces of paper going up into the wind towards
the sky,
and then it goes back to his window and pans out and everything like that. I thought that was unreal.
I really liked as well the angle they used in the first time you see the Krampus when he's chasing Beth
on
and
the
she's
roof.
Running
down
the street, and you can sort of see him out of focus in the background, just jumping from roof to roof chasing her.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Yeah, no, that's one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yeah,
I think that's
brutal. Eh?
On that note, let's talk about the actual Krampus and the. What do you call them? The villains.
Okay.
The killers.
Yep.
Favorite out of all these minions and everything like that. What did you like the best? What creeped you out the most?
What creeped me out the most?
Yeah.
The fucking Jack in the Box.
I knew you were gonna say that.
That thing is. Oh, it's weird, man.
It is.
It's creepy as.
Did you notice like when the dog, like, gets it from the like it falls from the roof and then they're about to shoot it. And it starts clapping for the elves?
Yeah.
It's a fucking creepy ass clap.
It is.
He's like,
yeah, exactly. It is heaps creepy, man.
It's weird. I like that. That's actually probably mine. Krampus himself, I really liked.
I really like the actual Krampus.
The thing is, the look of Krampus we never actually saw.
You kind of see his face.
That's not his face, it's a mask.
Is that?
Yeah.
Good, because I couldn't. That was one thing that I didn't understand. I couldn't understand why his face never seemed to move. Like, I thought with all the other effects and stuff they had in this movie, it was a bit weird that they just gave him like a solid state face that didn't move. Didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, I know. And they never really explain it. Like, the only reason I know is because of the trivia from the movie. It says here, Krampus's true face is hidden underneath a Santa Claus-like mask and is never fully revealed to the audience as a choice by the filmmakers to allow viewers to make their own conclusions on his actual appearance. His eyes and mouth are the only visible traces that can be seen through parts of his mask.
Yeah.
So like, no one would know that unless they read the trivia.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. I was going to ask if there was something I missed that pointed that out, because I didn't pick up that it was a mask. I thought it was just a, I don't know, it was probably one of the only things I thought was a poor choice, because I didn't understand why they had all these other effects going on and stuff, but they just gave him this, like, solid face that didn't move. I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, like, at least, like, the best thing they could do is, like, him to, like, reach under the mask, go to pull it up, and then pan to, like, his back, like, him showing Max.
Or have him,
like
throw the mask as walking away or something, so you sort of pick up that it was a mask.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
True.
Apart from that, like, all the critters and villains and all that stuff were unreal, like, all practical.
Which
is not heard of.
No.
Especially not now,
man. Nah, no way. There's something big to be said for practical effects, eh? It just brings a whole new level of realism to a movie.
Oh, definitely.
Because CG is good, and it can be awesome when it's used in the right way.
Yeah.
But when you go overboard with it, it starts to make it look more fake than anything else.
Yeah. So. That's right. It's there for enhancing, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, besides the gingerbread men.
Yeah, they were sick.
I thought you'd like them. Yeah, everything else was all practical.
Yeah.
But even, like, the gingerbread brand, they didn't look horrible.
No,
like,
they were done reasonably well. Yeah. You could tell they were CG, but they were still done reasonably well.
Yeah, I liked them. Scariest for me, I'm probably going to have to shadow you and
yeah
do that. The bear was cool.
That was cool. I reckon the creepiest one besides the Jack in the Box was the angel.
Yeah.
That thing's heaps creepy, man.
It was,
sitting in the rafters, and like you can see the symbol carved in its head, and you're like, all right, this is going to get weird. Then the face just changed and dive bombs. I was like, whoa!
Yeah. All right, so let's address the elephant in the room. Did you like the ending?
Actually, I did.
Yeah?
I did once I realised what was going on. Okay. As soon as it dropped him, like Krampus dropped him in the pit, and he was falling, and then he woke up in his bed, I actually threw my notebook and my pen.
Really?
Yeah, I was sitting on the ledger, I fucking threw him, and I was like, fuck this, I fucking told Tim I hate this shit, and he's made me watch another one with a fucking wake up from a dream. Nah. I got heaps shitty. And then it sort of kept going, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Now, I liked it once I figured out what the actual ending was. Okay. But as soon as I thought it was just a dream sequence, I got very angry.
I was speaking to my friend Kloofy, who's from the Consumerist podcast. I was speaking to him while he was watching this ending, and I'm like, how you like it? And he's like, I'm just at the ending now, Max just got thrown in the pit. And then he's like, no, they're motherfucking not going to. And I can tell he's getting so angry. He's texting me everything, and I'm just laughing going, just wait.
Yeah.
And then he's like, whoa, that ending was sick.
Yeah.
But what did you get from it?
What
do you think happened?
That he almost, like, trapped them. Like, obviously he trapped them in the snow globe.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost like he's trapped them in an eternal prison of what they forgot and what he's there to sort of remind them of.
Yeah.
Is the spirit of Christmas and all that sort of stuff. He's, like, trapped them in Christmas forever.
Yeah.
Because they turned their backs on it.
That's exactly what I got. A few people got a few different things from it.
Yeah.
So, just from IMDb trivia, the movie's ambiguous ending has spawned two fan theories. One, that the family are trapped in the snow globe, condemned to repeat Christmas morning for eternity in a twisted version of hell, which is basically what we said.
Yep.
Two, they were given a second chance and the snow globe is Krampus's means of watching over them. Although Ryder... So what do you think of that? Interesting, but I don't like it.
I don't really like it though because the point of Krampus is to punish people.
Yep.
Not to give them a second chance. Like,
exactly.
He's not a spirit of forgiveness. He's a spirit of punishment.
Yeah.
How is it punishing you if he just sticks you in another world and just goes, here, try again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, that doesn't work.
Continues here. Although writer-director Michael Dougherty has refused to confirm which theory is true, the tie-in comic book, because there's always a comic book...
Of course.
Shadow of St. Nicholas confirms that the happy ending is the true one. The comic has murdered characters, resurrected without any hint of the twist, showing that Krampus is willing to give people a second chance as long as they prove they've learned their lesson. Unlike his grandmother, Max was brave enough to confront Krampus and prove he'd learn his lesson, which was why Max had his family returned and the grandmothers didn't. Not a fan?
Not really.
Neither. I like our theory.
I like that. I like the whole movie is like dark and brutal and stuff throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
And it's all got this real dark edge to it.
Yeah.
Why would it still have a happy ending? That seems a bit odd.
No. And it's a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
Give me a brutal ending.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like it. And just imagine, like, when I told, like, Luffy that, like, he gave the same... He thought it the same way we did. And he's like, that's my worst nightmare come true. Spending Christmas time with your family over and over. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, just a bit, eh?
Yeah.
Just a bit.
All right, well, we're going to cut this one short because we are going a bit long tonight. So, Benjamin, come in with your final thoughts and your score for Krampus.
All right, my final thoughts for Krampus. I thought it was really good. As I said, it's just a pet peeve of mine seeing things like that in movies where families or people that hate each other choose to spend time together.
Yeah.
I don't know why, it just bugs me. So it started bugging me, but then once the movie took its dark sort of twist, I settled right into it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought the cinematography was very good. Some really, really cool shots going on in there. I thought the score was very good in this movie as well.
I didn't
a lot of the ways
score.
They do, they almost do like Christmas songs, but in like a dark, creepy way.
Yep.
You know, that's really cool and ties in the whole movie. Like, you know, the setting, the time of year, the, the feel of the whole movie gets tied in by that.
Yeah.
And it sets the mood really, really well. You know, whether it be suspense or action or whatever. So I thought the score was really, really well done for this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was cool. Even just the dark twists on normal Christmas characters was cool. You know, the way the reindeer looked, like Krampus's sleigh at the end, that was wicked. The fact that they made Krampus look like an evil Santa was cool. The elves were really fucking cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
They were wicked.
All midgets.
Yeah. I knew you'd love that. But yeah, so that was cool. Yeah, there were a couple of, you know, I actually really enjoyed that flashback scene when is telling the story of what happened to her as a kid.
Yeah, oh, that was a really
fucking cool scene.
The little animation.
It actually had a massive Tim Burton feel to it for me.
No, I can see that. Yeah, it did.
With the claymation and then like the silhouette sort of style.
Yeah,
that had a massive Tim Burton feel for it for me, but that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
It was a good way of just summarizing what's going on if you hadn't already picked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool.
I've completely forgot to mention that animation part.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I really like that little part.
It was cool, eh?
Yeah.
So that was wicked. Everything, man, just the twist on everything. The fucking creepy ass snowmen keeping guard on the, like, and the way that once they took fucking little Maverick, whatever the fuck his name was, Howie Jr. Once they took him, how they even like taunted them by dressing one of the snowmen with his clothes on it.
Fuck, I didn't realise that. No, I didn't pick that up.
Is that his scarf and shit they put on there? I thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's something I missed.
But I thought it was because when they look out the window and they see the little round snowman, he's only like two balls high when the rest are three, that's got like a scarf and stuff on it, they thought it was one of them's like, Howie! Thinking it was him.
Fuck, that's...
So, I may be wrong. I could have just imagined that, but...
I like that, actually.
If not, cool idea.
Yeah. Went right over my head.
That's right. But, Yeah, fuck. That's about it, eh? I thought it was really fucking cool.
Yeah?
And I liked some of the humour in it as well. Like the family photo at the start where the Santa's just perving.
That's even though funny, she's like, looks like she's...
Yeah, that's fucking weird, but funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was good, man. I really liked the angle it took on the whole Christmas thing.
Yeah.
The slow-mo intro where it's showing, like, the negative side to it all, how brutal people get in retail situations and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, really, really liked it.
So, score?
Score, I'm giving this an 8 out of 10.
Nice. Good stuff. 8.
Yeah. 8 out of 10, man.
For me, I like to watch a lot of Christmas horror films. I did a lot more last year because a lot of them are the first-time watches for me. This year, I didn't do as many because, quite frankly, a lot of them aren't that great.
Yeah.
I did Silent Night, Deadly Night, and this one. I haven't checked out Christmas Horror Story, but I will. But this, Krampus, is one that I'll always go back to every Christmas time.
It's definitely part of my rotation for Christmas now, 100%.
Up there with Die Hard, eh?
Yep.
Nice.
Definitely.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I have a blast watching this. Michael Dougherty cannot do wrong with me. I love his work, and I can't wait for Godzilla to come out.
Yeah.
So, I'm coming in a bit above Ben with a 9 out of 10. Nice. It isn't a perfect movie for me, but it's close. It's just a fun movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I can sit... It's a movie you can sit and just not pay attention while it's on.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be glued.
You're not going to miss, like, some massive plot twist if you're not paying attention to every single thing that's said.
Yeah,
You sort of just zone out and have some fun with it.
Yeah, it's just a fun all-around movie.
And, as I said, some of the concepts in it are really cool, man. The way they twisted, like, kids' toys and stuff around, like, to make that Jack-in-the-Box.
That's
creepy. That is creepy. I thought it was creepy anyway, but the fact that the first scene you actually see of it is shoving the feet down into its mouth. You're just like, whoa!
Yeah, of the girl,
that's savage.
Alright, well, before we continue, I just want to come in with a little bit of trivia. So, the opening sequence, where everyone was fighting, was shot on location in a single day at a department store in New Zealand.
Oh, there
basically, all this movie was shot in New Zealand.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
The snow on the ground was made from the material that is usually used for diapers or nappies.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Last bit of trivia, which might make you laugh. In the movie, Mac shares some candy from his Halloween stash to comfort his cousin. Inside, you can see a lollipop identical to the one used as a weapon by the demonic child Sam from Michael Dougherty's movie Trick or Treat.
That's sick.
Did you notice that?
No.
Neither did I.
I did not notice, and I want to rewatch it immediately see if I can see that.
Yeah.
Because that's awesome. I actually thought for a second that kid was like, that Maverick kid was in Trick or Treat. I don't think it's not him, eh?
No.
But it just reminded me of him.
You're thinking of the kid that vomits?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's, can't remember his name, Thurman Merman from Bad Santa.
Yeah. But yeah, no, for some reason...
Brett Kelly.
Yeah, he just reminded me of him, and I was like, wait a second.
It's like a younger version of him.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, well, that's it for Krampus from 2015. Let's kick it off to our next little segment. What's Under the Bed Reviews?
What's Under the Bed Reviews?
All right, what's under the bed this week?
This year?
It's almost this year.
That's true, actually.
As I said last week, I'm not doing any more reviews this year because it's time of that year to do our best and worst of 2017. So I'm coming this week with the worst movies in my opinion. Remember that. My opinion. That I feel that I saw that I fucking hated or was just huge disappointment. So, coming in... And you can't look at the number.
I'm not going to.
Coming in at number 10. What?
It's Halloween 3 on there.
That's the movies from this year that came out this year.
Oh, okay. I thought you just said a movie you watched this year.
No.
Otherwise, it should be number 1 every year.
Fuck you. I'll be in my best of. All right. So, if you all didn't get that, these are movies that were released in 2017. So, number 10, XX, which is streaming on Netflix, but don't watch it. Which is basically an anthology film done by all women directors. That means shit to me. And I got abused about not liking this movie. People called me sexist. I'm like, no, I don't care if you're a male, if you're a gay person, or if you're a bisexual or a transsexual, whatever you are. Just make a good movie.
Shit movie's a shit movie. Exactly. Pop it on the chin.
Exactly. It's an anthology film. One of the films was interesting, but evidently gave me blue balls at the end. It just didn't come... It was one of the things that you hate. Didn't come in with a logical
end.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
So, yeah. And the rest of the movie was just disappointing. Not a horrible movie. Not a bad movie in any way. Just a disappointing one for me. One that I was looking forward to. And it didn't deliver. Coming in at number 9. The Berlin Syndrome. Now, this stars that really, really hot chick from Lights Out. I cannot remember her name, but goddamn, she's really, really hot. And that didn't help this movie.
Oh, wow, Devo.
This movie was so fucking boring. And I know this is actually hitting a lot of people's best of.
Oh, really?
This. Yeah. It might have just gone straight over my head, but man, this movie was a drag to get through. I was bored shitless. Don't suggest watching it unless you are in for really slow burns that don't really pay off. I didn't enjoy it in the slightest. Number 8. Don't Fuck in the Woods. Clever title, and that's all it has going for it. This movie is beyond low budget. It's just a stupid all around. Basically, it's these kids go camping. If they have sex, they get taken by the no sex monster.
The no sex monster.
No, I just made that up. But it looks like a big toad, like a toad that grew up into a person and walked around and it's two legs. It's fucking stupid. You will see a lot of boobs. That's basically what it has going for it.
Yeah, and that just leaves you with blue balls as well.
Yeah, unless you pull one out while watching it.
Yeah, well, I mean, judging by the sound of it, it's the only decent thing to do while watching it.
Yeah, yeah. And my missus and her friends wanted to watch it, so I got sucked into watching it twice.
Wow.
God damn, that was a shit day. All right, number 7. And this is the one that a lot of people enjoyed, and I fucking hated it. The Night Watchman. Sounds interesting?
The name's familiar.
Clown vampires.
What?
and the people have to come to the rescue, who are the Night Watchmen. This movie's dumb. It just... every time they killed a vampire, it would shit itself, and you'd hear the fart noise, and it's like, after the 12th time, it's just like, okay, this isn't funny anymore.
Wow.
And they do the same reaction, oh, like that. It's like, oh my fucking god, I was tearing my hair out. That's why I'm bald at the moment. Thanks to you, Night Watchman.
Stop making excuses.
Okay, number 6, The Black Room, which is on Netflix. Please don't watch it.
Okay.
This stars Lin Shaye, and usually that's a good thing. I like me some Lin Shaye. Not in this film. And this is where I'd usually go into why I don't like this movie, but I don't remember fuck all about this movie. All I remember about it is as soon as I saw it, I knew that it was going in my worst of.
Wow, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, so take that with a grain of salt.
Hmm.
Number 5, and this is where it gets interesting. Number 5, Happy Death Day. This one is coming into a lot of people's best of film, and a lot of people's number 1.
Really?
And I don't know fucking why. Every year, there always seems to be a film that everyone flocks to and everyone loves that I fucking despise. Last year, it was Hush. Everyone loved that, and I just thought it was dumb and stupid. This year, Happy Death Day, it was just insulting to me. I fucking could not stand this movie.
Wow.
It's dumb, the writing's stupid, the reason she's getting killed is... Are you fucking serious? Like, oh my god. And it never explains why she's doing the whole Groundhog Day. Like, give me a fucking reason as to why she's coming back to life every day.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
Dumb. Okay. You can hear my full thoughts on episode... whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't fucking watch it. I fucking hated that movie. Piece of shit. Fuck you. Number 4. Rings. Yeah. You know the Ring series?
Yeah.
The third Americanized entry into the series came out early this year. Promising. It looked so promising when I saw the trailers came out late last year.
Yeah.
It looked great. Had a scene where the girl Samara came out of the plane's TV things.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it looked fucking great in the trailers. In the movie, it's the first scene and it cuts off halfway through.
What?
And goes to the title sequence. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's just rubbish.
Like, I can understand it doing the trailer. I'm like, good, they're not showing too much. But in the fucking movie, you're not going to show anything?
Apparently, they just showed the whole thing in the trailer. Because it doesn't happen.
Exactly. They just talked about it.
Oh.
And the plane crushed. Well, no shit. Thanks for letting us see it.
Yeah, exactly. Show us.
Yeah, it's got that dweeby guy from Big Bang Theory in it. The main guy with the glasses who's fucking that really hot chick.
Yeah.
He looks bored as shit just waiting for his fucking Big Bang money.
Yeah.
This movie, I can barely call it a horror movie, to be honest. It was more of a mystery movie and just did not work.
And above that, it was a disappointment.
It really was because this was one of the movies that I was really looking forward to this year, and it just did not deliver. And apparently, I'm not going to say this is true, apparently this is the reason why we didn't get a Friday the 13th movie this year, because this failed at the box office. So fuck you, Rings, and fuck your stupid Samara. Stay in the well where you belong forever. I don't want to see another fucking Rings movie.
Yeah, fair call.
Number 3.
Do you need a breather?
Oh, I'm only going to get more angry. Number 3. Resident Evil, the final chapter. Now, I would explain what happened, but due to shitty-ass editing, I had no fucking clue what was happening.
Oh, really?
The action sequences. I went with a couple of friends to go see this, and big-time Resident Evil fans. Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
And he walked away thinking the exact same things. Like, did you see what happened? I'm like, no, you couldn't, because the scenes were so quickly chopped up that it was...
Really?
Yeah, you just couldn't make out what was happening.
That's
on top of that, movies that have the asterisk, the final chapter, don't believe them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did it not...
It left it with an open ending. But for the love of God, please let this be the final chapter. I don't want to see Mila Djokovic running around with a fucking husband, Paul W.S. Anderson. Fuck you, you make shit movies, you fucked up Alien vs. Predator, Paul W.S. Anderson. Go fuck yourself.
Does that feel better? You feel good getting that off your chest?
A little bit.
Okay, good.
Alright.
That's right, we got another couple.
We got two more. And these two, I'm just going to have to take a breath. Because I'm going to get into it.
Alright, rev up, son. Rev up.
Number two, The Mummy. The fucking Mummy. The most, for me, anticipated movie, oh, besides it, that I was so looking forward to this movie. Now, all their plans about rejuvenating the Universal Monsters and bringing them all together, making a basically a Marvel Universe, but horror. What more could I ask for? And they fuck it up. This is the perfect example of too many cooks in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. They have no clue what they were going for. The writing was horrible. They didn't know what genre they wanted to make this. It had half of it was comedy, then it went to horror, then it went to action.
What?
Then it went to never horror again, because there's basically no horror in this movie, even though it's a fucking horror movie! You are a fucking mummy! Ugh! These movies made Universal, and they're just pissing on them. They are fucking grabbing them by the throat and saying, this is going to make us money because audiences are stupid. Let's piss on them and make these characters dumb. Exactly what you did. Fuck you, Universal. You fucked up the only franchise you fucking had. Fuck you, Tom Cruise. You can go suck a dick. You're a piece of shit. Go fuck off The Mummy. I hate you.
You can have a fucking stroke.
I was so angry with this movie, man.
This is fucking crazy.
The Mummy was this was so close. So close to coming into my number one spot for the worst movie of this year.
Okay. What's taking the cake, Tim?
The only reason that The Mummy did not take first spot is because there was a movie, and I dare call it a movie, that came out that was even worse than The Mummy. God forbid. My number one worst film of this year was Cuso.
I fucking knew that was going to be number one.
This might not be fair because I still haven't finished it. I cannot do it.
I feel if you tried three times to finish it, and you're a fair guy. It doesn't deserve finishing.
Dude, I don't know where to begin. It does not have a story. It does not have anything. The acting is... I don't even call it acting. It's popping pimples.
Is it still on Netflix?
No, it's never on... It hasn't been on Netflix.
Did you say it was?
It was on Shudder.
Oh, okay. Which is
an American thing, which still is apparently coming to Australia, so they say. We'll see that in 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Just stay away from this movie. Unless you're curious as to why I hate it so much, go for it and tell us what you think.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. All the rage and the hatred I've heard from you when you've spoken about this movie makes me want to watch it just so I can understand why you hate it so much.
It's...
I need to know.
I'll show you, alright?
Alright.
I'll show you sometime, and I want to record your reaction. Okay?
Uh-oh.
Fucking shit, man. So that is my top 10 least favorite films of 2017. Truthfully, it hasn't... it's been an alright year, because I'm struggling to find a top 10... when I say struggling, I mean... I've got about 16 in contention.
Yeah.
So, it's been an alright year. Last year, I think, was better. Because last year didn't have The Mummy.
Yeah, it didn't have better movies. It just had less shit ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's it. Next week, we'll be doing my top 10 favorite films of the year. Try and guess which one's my favorite film of the year. You'll have to wait and see. All right.
Cuso. Oh, yeah. You're just misleading everyone. This is a clever ruse. I knew it.
Alright, Benjamin, let's come in now with The Voice of the People. You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, oh. Alright, The Voice of the People. This All is right. a segment where we give you two movies, and it's you, the listeners. That's right, you listening right now.
Yeah, who gets that's right, to... you. You may think we're just saying you, but no, really, you.
Yeah.
Right now, you, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Tim from Winning Gamers. Winners Gaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the segment where we give you two movie options and you vote on which one you want to hear us talk about. So, the options for this week were, for next week, sorry, still on the Christmas theme. We're still there.
Yep, of course.
Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984, my bad, versus Black Christmas from 1974. Have you heard of any of these films?
No.
You've seriously never heard of any of them?
No.
Well, okay.
Silent Night, Deadly Night I've heard because I've heard you say it heaps.
Okay.
And
you never heard of Black Christmas?
No, I've never heard of Black Christmas, actually.
Okay. For me, I was rooting for Silent Night, Deadly Night. I love the film. And, lucky for me, it's the winner. Coming in at 79%, beating Black Christmas, who was only 21%. So, yeah. Now, the thing with this movie is, Ben has been bugging me for months and months and months. He wants to see Garbage Day.
I'm so excited. Tim has shown me this scene for years. Years on his phone. And it seems to just do a rotation. Just long enough for you to forget about it, and then like once every 8 months or so, and then it just comes out of the woodwork again, and it's the best scene ever. It's so good.
Good old Eric Freeman.
That guy's eyebrows could tell stories for days.
168 times they go up. 168. Try taking a shot every time he lifts his eyebrows up.
I don't want to die.
I watched it the other day, and there was a scene where he probably did it 5 times, lifted his eyebrows up in the space of 2 seconds. I shit you not.
He's got some impressive forehead muscles.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I was trying to do it with him. It started to hurt.
I can just imagine walking in to the room, seeing you staring at the TV, just going, scrunching up your face with his most concentrated look on your face.
That's what we're doing at my wedding. We're waiting for Jason to walk down. We're just going to be all doing that, lifting eyebrows.
I'm going to do it during your vows. I'm just going to stand behind you going,
no, because I'll lose my shit. Alright, so because Ben's been asking me for ages to watch Garbage Day, and Ben's got time off over Christmas, like bastard, he's going to be watching both Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 1 and Part 2.
That's right, we're going to go the double threat.
So, but the bad thing about these movies is they are so hard to find in Australia. Like, and even I tried to buy, because I don't own it on DVD or Blu-ray, and I tried to buy it on Blu-ray. Dude, eBay. One copy was $59, the other copy was $79. I'm like, fuck, I'm not paying that much for a Blu-ray.
Fuck, that's pretty axey.
Yeah, so it is really hard to find for you Australian listeners, but listen in, because I'll put the Garbage Day clip on the Facebook page.
Yes.
Just so you know what we're talking about. Just make it easy for you. If you have seen it before, then have fun listening to our chat on it, because it's going to be a fun chat, I feel. Okay.
I'm just doing the numbers in my head. Like, if you paid like $60 for it, you're only paying about 35 cents an eyebrow raise. That's money well spent. That's just brilliant.
Okay, you make it sound better now. All right, well, let's go off with a last segment of the night, which is what's pumping on your iPod. Alright, so what's pumping on our iPods this week? Well, before we talk about that, we got to talk about a little musical minute from our friend Paley. Take it away, Paley.
What's up, Horror for Dummies podcast? It's Paley here with another edition of song that kind of relates to the movie that you just watched, or sometimes it's like heaps close, but also sometimes it's not even slightly close, but whatever, here's a song, or whatever Tim's calling this segment. Krampus, I don't know, I'm not Bavarians, I don't know how to pronounce shit. I thought this would be a really difficult one. I mean, I could just pick any Christmas carol or something. It's Christmas themed. First up, my answer to Ben's question of the week about my favourite musical genre is punk rock, I thought I'd better put it in here because, you know, when I answered that question last week, no one, you know, Tim didn't read it out on the show about my favourite movie. It's American History X, by the way, but whatever. Anyway, so I was going to pick a punk rock song just, you know, just for something different. So I thought maybe like the Ramones, Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight, because the family were all assholes to each other. But then I was doing some quick Googling and I found a song called Krampus. I mean, I found a couple, but they're all really fucking crap. But then there was one that was actually kind of cool, and it was an original song by this YouTube artist named Zoe Gray. And yeah, so I thought I'd go with that one instead. So here's that.
So thanks, Paley, for your song for Krampus.
Krampus.
I love the way you...
That's sick. I love it.
And I didn't mention your movie last week because you put it in a different folder, you asshole. And you even said, I know this is in the wrong folder, but... Blah, blah, blah. So, it's your fault. Shut up.
Yeah. No, I'm lying. I love you, Paley. You can put it in whatever folder you want to put it in, mate. Just make Tim find things.
Yeah. Right.
It's Tim's fault.
So thank you to Paley for that. He's on the Consumers podcast. Fuck, we talk about the Consumers a lot this week.
We really have, eh?
But he's on that podcast with Cluvy and our other friend Jamie. Check them out. Do it. Do yourself a favour. Give yourself a treat.
It's true. Give yourself a little Christmas treat, all right?
Yeah.
A little Christmas bonus for yourself.
That's right. All right, so what's popping on our pod this week? Well, Alan has had a request, and one hell of a request, because I dig this song, man.
Fuck, this song is that good.
Hellraiser by Motorhead. Have you seen the film clip for this song?
I haven't, actually.
Oh, man. It's Motorhead playing while Pinhead watches in the crowd.
That's sick.
It's fucking cool, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Dude, watch it. I'll put the clip up when on the Facebook page, but it's fucking unreal. That song's just sick, man. Motorhead with movie Hellraiser. Nothing can go wrong.
That's right.
No.
That's just a winning combination all around.
That's right. On for our second song of the week. Now, by the time... This will be our last episode before Christmas. So, we have to play a Christmas carol.
Yeah, that's right. We just do.
But because I fucking hate Christmas carols, how do you feel about Christmas carols?
I don't mind, actually. They kind of put me in the spirit, but
really?
I'm also open to interpretations.
See, if I listen to Christmas carols, it's the one that I'm going to play for you tonight. It has to be a heavy metal version.
Yeah, fair call.
So, what I'm playing for you tonight is, you know the song Last Christmas?
I do.
By Wham?
Yeah.
Okay. Got a cover of it by...
Had it on the way here, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, it was on the radio.
You listen to radio? Ew.
Huh? Oh, fuck, settle down. I was in the car for like 5 minutes.
I can imagine you'd just be there with a biggest smile on your face, rocking your head back and forth.
I was in the car for 5 minutes, but the song started 15 seconds before I pulled up to your house. I just sat in the car the whole time listening to it.
I bet you did, eh?
I did, eh? Definitely.
Did you really?
No, I didn't do that. You
fucking
idiot.
Did. You're there singing it, thinking you were George Michael.
That's right. That's what I do in my spare time, actually. I've got the full Wham outfits at home. Wake me up before you go.
That's what you sing to Amy, right?
That's true. Even though I leave before her.
Alright, well, Last Christmas by a guy called Leo Moricilio. I hope I got that right. Anyway, he's a YouTube artist who basically does covers of any song. He's got so many, and they all fucking kick ass. If you want to search him up, check out searching Frog Leap Studios and you'll find his stuff. He does everything. Michael Jackson songs, fucking Gorillaz songs, anything you can imagine.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
He has a cover of Zombie by the Cranberries that's fucking mad. Like a really heavy version of that song, which is kick-ass. But listen to his version of Last Christmas. So a heavy metal Christmas carol for you all. Because we're caring.
And
nice
to all
voice.
A good night.
No, well, said he on there.
No, it's just because you said to all. Yeah, it's like the whole Christmas thing.
I thought you were saying goodbye quickly.
No, I'm not saying goodbye quickly.
Someone's keen to leave.
No, get out of it. I was just going with the Christmas thing, but now you've ruined it. Now it's just awkward.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot.
All right, well, that basically wraps up our episode for this week. Check us out at the Facebook page, which is Horror for Dummies Podcast at Facebook. You can email us at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com. We're on the Twitter. We are now on Instagram. Which hasn't got many photos up there, but hey, give us a second. I think that's everything. Oh, if you know us personally, I mean, you can message us there and say, hey, say this in the show, and we'll say it. We're not scared.
That's true. We'll suck a dick.
You beat me to it. All right, Benjamin. Well, that basically wraps up our show, our Christmas show. So
it sure does, Tim.
Yeah, so Merry Christmas to everyone from Horror for Dummies.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. I saw that on a shirt the other day, and I was so close to buying it, and they were like, $25. I'm like, nah, $25, fuck you. I'm not paying that much.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, for a shirt.
That's like half a case of beer.
Yeah, exactly. That's half a bottle of Jack Daniels.
That's right.
No way. Anyway. Fuck, we talk shit. Merry Christmas to you all, motherfuckers. We hope you have a good season.
What are you giggling about? Lost it now.
You look shocked.
What? I look shocked at saying Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry what?
No. Thank you all for supporting us over these last episodes. Oh, this is episode 15, by the way, if you didn't notice. So 15 episodes. We're still going strong. We're still going to be here to tickle your funny bones and tickle your willies and joiners and all that stuff.
Yeah, fucking wristies all around in the New Year's,
yeah.
Line them up, bring them in.
We'll be...
Between the two of us, we got four wrists.
This isn't our last show for the year, but it's close, so we will see you next week for our end of year spectacular.
Spectacular!
It will be spectacular.
Yes, indeed!
So, I have been Timothy.
And I have been Ben.
Jammin.
Yes, that too.
All right, here to kick it off with some Hellraiser Motorhead. Goodbye, y'all.
I'm just dragging it out. Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. We'll see you later. Still ain't had enough.
tear your soul apart.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.